Ya, Bapak-Ibu sekalian, tadi sudah kita saksikan bersama-sama video rencana pembangunan Buddha Hall yang akan dilakukan di Sarvastiabi, wihara di mana tempat Venerable Pepton Chodron tinggal ya. Ya, nanti juga akan dijelaskan lebih lanjut oleh Venerable mengenai rencana pembangunan Buddha Hall ini. Berikutnya kita akan langsung saja mulai sesi meditasi dan juga Dharma Talk yang disampaikan oleh Venerable Pepton Chodron. Saya sapa terlebih dahulu penerjemah kita pada pagi hari ini masih sama ya, Ko Hendralim, biasa kita sapa dengan Ko Moming. Ko Moming sudah bersama kita?
Sudah, selamat okay. Pagi.
Selamat pagi. Budaya, Pak. Mohon bantuannya ya, Ko ya. Oke, okay, dan saya berikutnya serahkan langsung kepada Ko Moming untuk membantu meminta Venerable untuk langsung memandu sesi meditasi. Silakan Ko Moming.
Good evening, Venerable. This is a very precious moment for every one of us attending this Zoom Dharma sharing. So I would like to request your presence to guide us today with a guided meditation and also a Dharma teaching. Please, Venerable, we request your presence now. Thank you.
Yeah. It's very good to see all of you again. Yeah. And I guess it's morning time where you are. It's evening time here. And yet we can still come together and share the Dharma, which is really wonderful when you think about it. I was thinking about Indonesia the last couple of weeks, and my last trip there when I went to Jambi and Palembang, and when I was at the places where Lama Atisha had been and where he listened to teachings from his teacher Ser Lingpa, these are masters who are very much esteemed in the Tibetan tradition. And it was a real privilege for me to be able to go to where they, where they taught and where they lived. And just thinking how important it is to rejuvenate Buddhism in Indonesia. You know, and the kind of work that you're doing at Ekayana and all the branch temples and so on, it's so important. And it's not just the work that you're doing to bring other people into the Dharma, but it's your own practice and your own understanding, because the more we're able to hear teachings and put them into practice and transform our own mind, then the more we are rooting the Buddha's Dharma in a place. And since you have this incredible heritage, Mo Ming, where are you?
I'm here.
Oh, there you are. Okay, I'm sorry. You need to translate.
But I still catch the main.
Yeah, point. Go ahead. Sorry.
Okay, jadi selamat. Saya senang sekali bisa berjumpa lagi dengan Anda semua. Di sini ini di sini maksudnya di Amerika keadaannya malam, di Indonesia itu pagi. Dan ketika saya memikirkan Indonesia, saya ingat ketika saya terakhir kali datang ke Indonesia, saya berkunjung ke Jambi dan Palembang. Di saat di perjalanan terakhir itu, saya berkesempatan untuk berkunjung ke Candi Muara Jambi. Candi itu adalah situs yang dipercaya sebagai tempat di mana ada sebuah universitas besar yang ada di zaman itu ya. Dan seperti yang Anda ketahui, tradisi agama Buddha Tibet itu sangat mengagumi Lama Atisha, dan guru beliau adalah Sher Lingpa Dharmakirti. Jadi tempat di mana saya datang ke sana adalah tempat di mana Dharma diajarkan dan tempat di mana juga Lord Atisha itu belajar. Nah, kita di Indonesia itu punya satu kesempatan yang luar biasa, punya sebuah warisan yang harus kita jaga. Dan sesungguhnya tugas kita itu bukan hanya menyebarkan Dharma saja, ya, bukan hanya beraktivitas untuk dapat menyelenggarakan ajaran-ajaran Dharma, tapi kita sendiri juga harus mampu untuk bisa mempraktikkannya dalam kehidupan sehari-hari, sehingga dapat memberikan manfaat untuk lebih banyak orang.
So there's kind of Dharma. There's the transmitted Dharma and the realized Dharma.
Jadi ada Dharma yang disampaikan, artinya diajarkan kepada kita, dan ada Dharma yang kita realisasi.
So the transmitted Dharma, that's the scriptures, the teachings that are shared between teachers and students.
Jadi Dharma transmisi itu yang kita dapat dari buku, dari ajaran yang disampaikan oleh seorang guru kepada murid.
And the realized Dharma is the realizations in our own mind stream coming from the practice that we do.
Dan Dharma realisasi adalah apa yang muncul di dalam pikiran kita, dan itu bersumber dari praktik yang kita telah lakukan.
So for the Dharma to exist, we need both the transmitted Dharma and the realized Dharma. Okay. Having temples and buildings is not sufficient.
Okay. Jadi agar Dharma itu tetap berkembang, bertumbuh, maka kita perlu kedua ini, Dharma transmisi dan Dharma realisasi. Ada gedung, ada wihara saja itu tidak cukup.
Yeah. Temples and buildings give us place to share the transmitted Dharma, practice the realized Dharma. But the real existence of the Dharma is something that we personally have to put energy into.
Jadi gedung wihara itu fasilitas ya, membantu kita untuk dapat memahami dan mempelajari Dharma. Tapi yang paling penting itu adalah Dharma realisasi yang kita dapatkan dari praktek yang telah kita lakukan.
Okay, so that's why we're here today. So we can learn the Dharma, put it into practice, transform our own minds, and to do this for the benefit of all living beings.
Nah, itulah tujuan kita di sini. Kita berbelajar Dharma sehingga kita dapat mentransformasi pikiran kita, dapat memberikan manfaat untuk semua makhluk.
Yeah. So in Indonesia, you have the special task of rejuvenating the Dharma. It was there, it flourished centuries ago, then it died out. So your job is to bring it back and really integrate the teachings in your life and share them with others so that people can benefit.
Nah, tugas kita di Indonesia ini adalah menyegarkan kembali ya, atau membangkitkan kembali. Dharma ini dulu sekali zaman nenek moyang kita itu pernah bertumbuh dan berkembang, kemudian lenyap, dan sekarang sudah ada kembali. Nah, tugas kita adalah menumbuh kembangkannya kembali sehingga orang-orang dapat berpraktek dan memberikan dampak dan manfaat untuk banyak makhluk.
So, like I said, I really felt the blessings of the place in Jambi, in Palembang, also, you know, other places I've been in Indonesia. And so please practice well and build on that energy and take that as a personal responsibility to do.
Ya, dan ketika saya berkunjung ke Muara Jambi, ke Palembang, dan tempat-tempat lain di Indonesia itu, saya merasakan energi. Jadi untuk kita, marilah kita sama-sama mempraktikkan Dharma, menumbuh kembangkannya, dan menyebarkannya untuk pada orang banyak. Dan jadikanlah itu sebagai sebuah tugas pribadi, tanggung jawab individu kita.
Yeah. In the United States, we don't have that history. We're kind of a barbarian country, and we're trying to bring the Dharma to this barbarian place.
Di Amerika, di tempat negara saya itu, kita nggak punya misteri ya. Misteri maksudnya histori, sejarah seperti kita di Indonesia. Dan ini tempat barbarian, tempat orang barbar. Jadi Dharma itu datang ke sini dan kami sedang berupaya untuk menyebarkan Dharma di tempat yang barbar seperti ini.
Yeah. But we're all working together for the same aim.
Tapi kita semua bekerja bersama-sama untuk tujuan yang sama.
Okay. So with that, we'll begin the teaching today. Tell me again the title, what I'm supposed to talk about. Practicing the Dharma in bad times and good, is it something like that?
Yes, exactly, Venerable. That's okay. The topic.
Okay.
And I think we have some questions probably related to the previous sessions. That
okay, should I do the questions first?
Might some.
Okay. I'll do the questions. I'll do the questions first, then give a little bit of a talk, then people will probably have more questions. So this is the list of questions that you sent me after the last talk.
Yeah. Yes.
This is what I have. So the first one, okay. Can you talk more about the Ratana Sutra Pali chanting in this time of pandemic? How can it help to calm people's anxiety? Yes, that's the first question.
Okay, jadi pertanyaan pertama berhubungan dengan Ratana Sutta yang ada di dalam teks Pali. Bagaimana pembacaan Ratana Sutta itu dapat membantu kita mengurangi?
Okay. So the Ratana Sutta was first spoken because there was an epidemic in a certain town that was caused by spirits. In ancient times, you know, very often they ascribe the cause of disease and famine and so forth to spirits. So,
okay, jadi Ratana Sutta itu pertama kali ada ketika ada suatu musibah penyakit yang terjadi di sebuah kota. Dan itu diyakini disebabkan oleh roh-roh atau spirit. Jadi di zaman dulu tuh orang percaya kalau musibah itu disebabkan oleh roh halus. Dalam bahasa kita sebut saja roh halus.
So the Buddha went there with the Sangha and he gave the Ratana Sutra, which talked about the magnificent qualities of the Buddha, Dharma, and Sangha.
Buddha lalu pergi ke sana bersama dengan para sangga, lalu mengajarkan Ratana Sutta yang berbicara tentang kualitas Buddha dan sangga.
And so by hearing this, the minds of the spirits became more peaceful. They ceased wanting to harm others. So the epidemic stopped.
Dan setelah mendengarkan itu, pikiran-pikiran roh-roh tersebut itu jadi lebih tenang dan mereka berhenti menyakiti orang lain sehingga epidemiknya pun berhenti.
Because the spirits realized that in comparison to the qualities of the three jewels, what they had was not very much.
Karena mereka merenungkan jika dibandingkan dengan kualitas tiga permata, maka yang mereka para roh-roh halus miliki ini tuh sebenarnya nggak ada apa-apanya.
Yeah. Meanwhile, for the human beings who were very anxious about the epidemic, hearing about the qualities of the three jewels, they realized that they could take refuge in the three jewels, that they could elevate the state of their mind from a state of anxiety and apprehension to a state of faith and confidence. And so when they thought about the qualities of the three jewels in this way, that's what transformed their mind and alleviated their anxiety and their fear.
Nah, untuk kita perumah tangga awam yang mendengarkan tentang kualitas tiga permata ini, maka kita itu memikirkan atau kita dapat meningkatkan kapasitas pikiran kita, mentransformasikan pikiran kita, sehingga rasa takut dan kecemasan kita itu menjadi hilang. Dan kita mengandalkan perlindungan kita kepada Buddha, Dharma, dan Sangha. Dengan cara inilah, dengan mentransformasi pikiran kita dengan keyakinan kepada Buddha, Dharma, dan Sangha, ini dapat mengatasi rasa cemas kita.
So when we say that they took refuge in the Buddha, Dharma, Sangha, it doesn't just mean that they said Namo Buddhaya, Namo Dhammaya, Namo Sanghaya, and that they somehow expected the Buddha to fly down and rescue them, and the Sangha to come and beat up the spirits and banish them. They weren't that's not what refuge meant to the people.
Jadi ketika kita menyatakan perlindungan, ya itu bukan berarti Buddha tuh turun gitu dari langit kemudian mengusir semua roh jahat, kemudian para biku juga itu berjibaku kali ya menyelamatkan kita, enggak seperti itu ya kondisi. Jadi tidak semata-mata hanya karena baca nama budaya, nama dharma dan nama sanggaya, maka itu akan terjadi.
So I say this because some people even today think, oh, I'll make an offering to the Buddha, I'll make a request, and then I'll just sit back, I'll have a cup of tea, and let the Buddha make the situation better. That's not the meaning of taking refuge.
Nah, kenapa saya ngomong begini? Karena di zaman ini tuh masih ada orang-orang yang berpikir gini, ya udah saya berlindung kepada Buddha Dharma dan Sangha, terus saya santai-santai aja, nggak perlu ngapa-ngapain. Ya, saya menikmati secangkir minuman, terus nggak usah ngapa-ngapain, terus nanti Buddha aja yang kerja, saya santai-santai aja gitu. Jadi ada orang yang pemikirannya masih seperti itu.
Yeah. So they say the way the Buddha actually helps us is through teaching us the Dharma, because when we know the Dharma, then when we are in difficult situations, we know how to train our mind. We know how to think. We know how to guide our mind and put it in a virtuous state instead of just letting it run on automatic into fear and anxiety and anger and so forth.
Jadi, jadi gini, bagaimana cara Buddha melindungi kita? Yaitu dengan Buddha mengajarkan Dharma kepada kita semua. Nah, dengan mengajarkan Dharma inilah kita berlatih untuk bisa mentransformasi pikiran kita supaya kita tidak lagi punya banyak pemikiran-pemikiran yang menimbulkan kecemasan, kekhawatiran kepada kita.
Okay, so this is very important to remember, and this is also why you should really think about the Buddha's teachings so that when you face different situations in your life, you will know what to think about to overcome whatever affliction is disturbing your mental peace at that time.
Ya, jadi inilah sesungguhnya apa yang harus kita lakukan dengan berlindung kepada Buddha. Jadi ajaran-ajaran Buddha itu kita renungkan, kita aplikasikan. Sehingga kita ketika mengalami kecemasan, frustrasi, dan sebagainya, itu kita mampu mentransformasi pikiran kita mengatasi masalah-masalah tersebut.
Okay. So for example, when our mind is overwhelmed with attachment and greed, and I want this, and I need this, and why can't I have it, our mind is in a very unpeaceful state. If at that time we think about impermanence, that everything rises and it also ceases, that nothing lasts forever, then we'll realize that whatever we're attached to, whatever we're clinging to, is something that is transient. And so there is no purpose in clinging to it because it can't last forever. And so thinking that way makes our mind calm down, and it helps us just to accept the reality of the situation, you know, that we enjoy what we have when we have it, and when it's gone, don't, you know, hold on to it and don't be greedy about wanting more and better. Just let your mind be relaxed.
Salah satu contohnya adalah ketika pikiran kita itu sangat melekat ingin sesuatu, ya, atau kita tidak ingin kehilangan sesuatu, dan itu membuat kita itu jadi punya banyak emosi negatif. Nah, ketika itu terjadi, yang perlu kita lakukan adalah merenungkan ajaran tentang ketidakkekalan. Bahwa segala sesuatu yang ada di dunia ini itu muncul dan lenyap, muncul dan lenyap. Nah, ketika kita memahami ini, maka kita akan mampu untuk memiliki kualitas pikiran yang membantu kita mengatasi kengototan ini, keterikatan ini. Dan membuat kita menyadari bahwa apapun yang kita inginkan, keserakaan kita yang begitu besar itu hanya akan membawa kita kepada satu kesusahan yang lebih banyak lagi, karena barang apapun yang kita miliki itu akan lenyap, akan hilang. Nah, inilah ketika kita mentransformasi pikiran kita dengan ajaran Buddha.
And sometimes we're just really angry and really upset, and so at those times we need to meditate on love and on fortitude or patience to calm our mind and free it from the grip of anger.
Ya, dan ada saatnya juga ketika kita itu dipenuhi dengan amarah, dengan ketidaksukaan, itulah waktunya bagi kita untuk memeditasikan kasih sayang, cinta kasih, agar supaya pikiran kita dapat bertransformasi, dapat mengatasi kemarahan-kemarahan kita.
And when our mind is filled with jealousy, somebody has something and we want it and we think they shouldn't have it, then the antidote to that is to rejoice at their good circumstance instead of being jealous of it.
Ya, dan bila kita iri kepada seseorang, berpikir bahwa harusnya yang dia punya itu milik saya. Nah, antidotnya atau penawarnya adalah kita memeditasikan rasa simpati. Kita memeditasikan kebahagiaan yang dia dapat rasakan.
So, this is how the Buddha protects us. This is how refuge works.
Inilah cara Buddha melindungi kita. Inilah sesungguhnya cara perlindungan bekerja.
Okay. So to give you an example, in the US, when we have an emergency, the number to dial on the telephone is 911. Okay, you probably have something in Indonesia similar to that.
Ya, misalnya kalau di Amerika, kalau ada urusan gawat itu mereka telepon ke 911.
So if I'm very upset or my mind is overcome by afflictions, I do what I call an emergency 911 call to the Buddha.
Nah, bila saya sudah lagi ada masalah, pikirannya lagi nggak bagus, maka saya itu telepon ke nomor darurat Buddha, nomor 911 darurat.
And I say, Buddha, what do I do to calm my mind? And then I tell the Buddha what the affliction is in my mind, if it's anger, jealousy, or resentment, or whatever it is.
Lalu saya tanya, Buddha, pikiran saya lagi kacau, lagi emosi, terus saya mesti ngapain nih? Apa yang harus saya lakukan dengan semua emosi-emosi negatif ini?
And because I've heard a lot of teachings, then it comes into my mind from what my teachers have taught me, what I need to think about in order to counteract that particular affliction. And so then I practice that and calm my mind down.
Nah, karena saya telah mendengar banyak ajaran dari banyak sumber, dari buku, dari guru saya juga, maka ketika saya menanyakan pertanyaan itu semua muncul di dalam pikiran saya dan saya menemukan cara-cara untuk mengatasi, menenangkan pikiran saya.
Okay. I'll go on to the next question. I tend sometimes to give long answers to short questions and sometimes short answers to long questions.
Jadi kita akan lanjut ke pertanyaan berikut. Ya, saya ada kecenderungan pertanyaannya pendek, saya jawabnya panjang. Ada pertanyaannya panjang, saya jawabnya pendek.
Okay, so the question, second question is, in the Book of Happiness, She said, Venerable spoke about laughing at yourself. So what does that mean? Is it important to learn to laugh at ourselves? Please elaborate on what that means.
Okay, jadi pertanyaan berikutnya adalah tentang menertawakan diri sendiri. Ya, beliau dalam bukunya Kebahagiaan Itu ada menguraikan tentang menertawakan diri sendiri. Mohon jelaskan lebih lanjut.
So yes, I think it's very important to learn to laugh at ourselves, to not take ourselves so seriously.
Nah, saya pikir penting untuk menertawakan diri sendiri. Jangan terlalu serius.
And to be able to admit some of the foolish things we do and then laugh at them instead of going, oh, I'm so terrible, look what I did, this is awful. You know, instead, admit it, laugh at sometimes how silly we've been.
Okay. Jadi kadang-kadang kalau kita salah, jadi daripada kita nyalain diri kita, aduh goblok banget, bego gitu, ngapain sih? Mendingan kita ketawain diri kita sendiri dan bilang, aduh, ini bodoh banget ya. Jadi alih-alih kitanya kesel, emosi, tapi kita menertawakan kebodohan kita sendiri saja.
Okay. So I'll give you an example one time how I laughed at myself. So I was in retreat, doing a solitary retreat, and in the middle of one meditation session, I thought, I am such a good meditator. I'm sure my teacher has psychic powers and he's seeing what a good meditator I am and how well I'm doing this retreat.
Jadi beliau cerita satu pengalaman, pernah join satu retreat penyunyian dan ketika bermeditasi dia berpikir, beliau berpikir, wah meditasi saya bagus banget ya. Guru saya ini pasti tahu saya tuh begitu serius dan kemampuan saya luar biasa.
Yeah.
Itu yang muncul dalam pikiran saya ketika retreat.
My teacher is going to think that I'm one of his best students.
Guru saya akan berpikir, saya adalah salah satu murid terbaiknya.
So, as soon as I realized what I was thinking, I just burst out laughing in the middle of my meditation session.
Jadi ketika saya sadar apa yang saya sedang pikirkan, saya tuh langsung tertawa terbahak-bahak di tengah-tengah sesi meditasi.
Because the way I was thinking was the total opposite of being a good Dharma student. I was just full of arrogance and self-importance.
Karena pemikiran saya ini tuh berbanding terbalik dengan kenyataan yang ada, ya. Saya berpikirnya itu sangat egois dan saya berpikir bahwa saya ini sangat penting.
Yeah. So we have to learn to laugh at ourselves in this way. It really sometimes how so stupid our mind is.
Kita perlu belajar untuk menertawakan diri kita sendiri dan bilang, aduh, ini pikiran kita ini bodoh banget ya.
And so there's many good things about being able to laugh at yourself. One of them is when you make a mistake and you notice it, then you say it out front and you laugh at it. And then nobody else can point out your mistake. They can't criticize you because you've already owned it and you've laughed at it.
Salah satu manfaat menertawakan diri sendiri itu adalah supaya orang lain itu nggak bisa mengkritik kita lagi. Kenapa? Karena ketika kita salah, kita ngaku salah dan kita ketawa atas kesalahan itu, maka kesalahan itu jadi milik kita. Orang lain tuh nggak bisa mengkritik kita.
So one time I was on a telephone call with my mother, and she she got really mad at me about something. I can't even remember what it was. But she was really complaining, oh, you didn't do this and you didn't do that. And she kept going on and on. I'm sure some of you have had similar conversations with your parents. You know what it's like.
Jadi saya ingat saya suatu kali teleponan dengan ibu saya dan dia marah. Saya juga udah nggak ingat kemarahannya apa atau penyebabnya apa. Tapi dia komplain aja, kamu nggak bikin ini, kamu nggak bikin itu. Nah, buat kalian nih yang pernah ngalamin ini, kalian tahu deh itu rasanya kayak apa.
So in the middle of my mom going on and on about this, I said, gee, mom, you know, it's so unfortunate for you that you have such a stupid daughter. And
sorry, that's hilarious. Sorry, let me translate, Honorable. Jadi di tengah-tengah telepon itu, beliau bilang, aduh, mama tuh gak hoki banget sih punya putri yang sebodoh saya.
And then she stopped complaining about me. There was nothing more to say.
Yeah. Dan akhirnya ya dia berhenti, beliau ibunya berhenti komplain, nggak ada lagi yang beliau bisa katakan.
Yeah, but really not taking ourselves so seriously is really it's psychologically very healthy. Of course, we have to take responsibility for things that are our mistake, okay? But we don't have to get so, oh, this is terrible, look what I did, you know, and make a big drama all about ourselves about that.
Jadi kalau kita menertawakan diri sendiri itu secara psikologi itu sehat ya. Kenapa? Karena dari alih-alih kita bilang, ah, stres, aduh, gedek gitu, kesel, marah sama diri sendiri itu nggak ada gunanya juga. Jadi menertawakan kesalahan kita itu salah satu cara untuk bisa sehat secara psikologi. Tapi itu bukan berarti kita lari dari tanggung jawab kita ya. Itu yang kita harus paham.
Okay, next question. Okay, so how can we still be happy in our mind and in our heart, even though our hearts are uneasy because of the conditions that we face right now? And we know that the Dharma tells us that everything is impermanent. But still, I think the implication here is we know everything's impermanent, but somehow our present situation seems very permanent. And we, you know, we feel really weighed down by it.
Ya, pertanyaan berikutnya adalah bagaimana cara kita bisa untuk bahagia, ya? Karena pikiran kita dan hati kita itu nggak nyambung. Artinya hati kita tuh tahu bahwa kondisi seperti ini itu, kita tahu nih kondisinya ini nggak akan, maksudnya kondisi sulit kita itu nggak akan selamanya. Tapi kok tetap aja susah untuk bahagia. Dan di tengah-tengah kesulitan yang seakan-akan kesulitan ini sifatnya abadi dan permanen.
So here it's helpful, you know, not only to remember that things are transient, they're impermanent, but also to remember that they're caused by, they arise due to causes and conditions.
Selain perenungan tentang ketidakkekalan, kita juga perlu untuk memikirkan bahwa semua yang terjadi ini muncul karena sebab-sebab dan kondisi.
Okay. So the causes and conditions that give rise to a difficult situation, those causes and conditions are changing in every nanosecond. They aren't the same. And so even though the situation may seem to be the same, in actual fact, it's changing in every moment, and the causes for it are changing in every moment. And so when the causes and conditions change, the situation is not going to be the same. So then we shouldn't let it weigh on us so much.
Nah, kita juga perlu merenungkan bahwa sebab-sebab dan kondisi ini pada dasarnya tidak permanen, tidak kekal. Nah, sebab dan kondisi ini karena dia tidak permanen, maka dia akan juga membuat situasi ini juga tidak permanen. Ya, memikirkan ini itu akan membuat kita jadi lebih ringan sehingga situasi yang terjadi kepada kita itu tidak membuat kita jatuh.
So if you're sick, you know, the causes and conditions for your illness, they're changing all the time. So you're not going to remain sick forever.
Kalau bila Anda sakit, maka ingat bahwa situasi dan kondisi yang menyebabkan kita sakit itu berubah. Oleh sebab itu, kita tidak akan sakit selama-lamanya.
Okay. So that's one technique, you know, when we feel like a situation is really weighing on us. A second technique is to remember that, to actually think how many people in this universe are upset about the same situation that I'm worried and upset about.
Itu cara pertama ya. Cara kedua adalah dengan memikirkan di dunia ini ada begitu banyak orang, ada begitu banyak orang yang juga merasakan situasi yang sama yang membuat saya kecewa.
Because when we have a problem, it seems like our problem fills the whole universe. And like it's a not just a national disaster, it's an international disaster. It's the worst thing that could ever happen on this planet.
Nah, karena kita suka melebih-lebihkan kalau kita punya masalah ya. Bahwa ini masalah saya ini udah levelnya nasional, bahkan internasional. Bahwa di alam semesta ini masalah saya lah yang paling berat, yang paling penting.
Yeah. Does it seem that way when you have a problem?
Kalau bila kita punya masalah, bukankah pemikirannya seperti itu?
What am I going to do? This is so awful.
Ini berantakan banget, susah banget. Duh, mesti ngapain ini?
So, one thing to do is to actually stop and ask yourself how many people in this huge universe are upset about the same problem that I'm upset about.
Ya, dan salah satu cara untuk menghentikan ini adalah dengan merenungkan ada berapa banyak makhluk di alam semesta ini yang punya masalah yang sama yang membuat saya kecewa.
Is there even one other person who's as upset as I am?
Ada nggak satu orang saja yang kecewanya sama kayak saya.
Okay.
Hello?
So I'll give you another personal example. I believe in giving these little anecdotes because it shows you how to practice. Okay.
Ada saya kasih Anda satu contoh ya, ada satu lelucon anekdot yang membantu Anda untuk dapat berpraktik.
So some years ago, I was writing a book. And it was done with some other people, but then the other people wanted to take the book in a direction that I didn't want to, that I didn't think was good for the book. And they did all these things behind my back. And I had already signed a contract to do this book. And then they're doing things behind my back. And I'm so upset. Yeah.
Jadi saya ada satu kejadian. Saya menulis buku, berencana menulis buku dengan orang lain. Tapi dalam perjalanan itu kita beda arah, beda tujuan. Dan saya tidak setuju dengan mereka. Tapi karena kontraknya sudah ditandatangan. Terus mereka ini melakukan banyak hal di belakang saya yang saya tidak tahu. Dan ini sungguh-sungguh membuat saya kecewa.
And So I happened to go to Dharamsala in the middle of it, and I was listening to one of His Holiness the Dalai Lama's teachings. And after the teaching, I was walking back to my room, and I started thinking about this problem again. You know how you ruminate about a problem and it's in your mind all the time? So I started thinking about it some more as I was walking back to my room.
Jadi di tengah-tengah penulisan buku itu, saya pergi ke Dharamsala dan dengerin ceramah dari His Holiness Dalai Lama. Dan ketika saya kembali ke kamar dalam perjalanan itu, saya mikir gitu ya, sama seperti kita kalau lagi punya masalah, kita mikirin ini mesti ngapain, segala macam berkecamuk di dalam pemikiran kita. Itu yang terjadi kepada saya.
And then I just all of a sudden stopped and I said, you know, there's over 7 billion human beings on this planet and only one of them is so upset about this situation. Only one out of 7 billion. And that one happens to be me. But it's only one. So why am I making such a big deal about it if the rest of the world isn't even thinking about it?
Jadi saya berhenti, tiba-tiba saya berhenti dan memikir bahwa dari 7 miliar manusia di dunia ini, itu hanya ada satu yang mengalami kondisi ini. Dan kenapa juga saya harus memikirkannya terlalu jauh? Kenapa juga saya harus begitu kecewa?
Okay. And so again, I had to stop and realize what I was thinking was really rather off balance. Yeah. And I had to chuckle at how obsessed I had gotten about this situation.
Dan saya jadi merenung bahwa bukankah ini tuh nggak imbang ya? Dan kemudian saya juga berpikir saya harus keluar dari kondisi ini.
Because if nobody else in the world is upset about it, why should I be upset?
Karena di dunia ini tuh nggak ada yang kecewa dengan kondisi saya. Lalu kondisi itu kenapa saya harus kecewa?
Yeah, it's just my self-centeredness making a big deal out of me.
Ya, itu hanya ego saya kepada diri saya sehingga menjadikannya itu sebuah masalah besar untuk saya sendiri.
Okay. Let me go to the next question.
Kita lanjut pertanyaan berikut.
So how can we remember the Buddha and plant good seeds in our heart to maintain and nourish our Buddha nature in this 21st century?
Ya, bagaimana kita merawat, menumbuh kembangkan benih Buddha yang ada dalam diri kita di abad 21 ini?
Good question. So I think learn the Dharma. So go to teachings, you know, like you're doing now. Read Dharma texts. Learn as much as you can.
Ya, belajarlah sebanyak yang Anda mampu. Ya, hadiri ajaran-ajaran seperti ini. Baca teks-teks.
Then think about what you heard. And think about it in terms of your own life so that you learn to integrate the meaning of the teachings in your life and see how what the Buddha taught applies to your life and the situations you encounter.
Ya, renungkan bagaimana ajaran-ajaran tersebut terhubung dengan kehidupan Anda sehari-hari. Bagaimana ajaran tersebut dapat membantu Anda mengatasi kondisi-kondisi yang Anda hadapi.
Yeah. Discuss the Dharma with your Dharma friends.
Bahas Dharma dengan rekan-rekan sedharma Anda.
And set up a daily meditation practice.
dan atur waktu untuk berlatih meditasi setiap hari.
Yeah. So your daily meditation practice is like it's like you have an appointment with the Buddha every day. And when you do your practice, it's like the Buddha is coming into your heart and planting these kinds of good seeds that you're asking about in the question.
Ya, jadi atur waktu untuk meditasi rutin, dan ini seperti janji temu dengan Buddha. Jadi ketika Anda melakukannya, Anda bisa menganggap ini bahwa Buddha sedang membantu Anda menabur benih-benih Buddha yang ada di dalam diri Anda.
And so really try and have a kind attitude towards others as much as you can.
Dan semampu kita, sebanyak-banyaknya kita itu bersikap baiklah kepada makhluk-makhluk yang lain.
Okay, when you've erred, you know, apologize to somebody. If they made a mistake, don't stay angry and hold a grudge at them.
Ya, Anda bisa memohon maaf kepada orang, atau ketika seseorang bersalah kepada Anda, Anda dapat maafkan sehingga Anda tidak menyimpan amarah dan dendam.
Yeah. And that remember that the fundamental nature of your mind is something pure. And so have that act as a basis for self-confidence.
Dan ingat bahwa pada dasarnya, ya, pada hakikatnya, kamu atau kita ini punya pikiran yang benih pikiran yang baik dan menjadikan itu sebagai landasan untuk keyakinan dan kepercayaan diri kita.
Yeah. So rather than have money or wealth or popularity or knowledge or something like that, or athletic ability, musical talent, rather than having something like that be the basis of your self-confidence, have the awareness that you have the potential to become a fully awakened Buddha, and let that be the basis of having confidence in yourself.
Jadi gini, biasanya kita menjadikan uang, kemudian popularitas, kekayaan, dan keterampilan itu sebagai landasan untuk kepercayaan diri kita. Nah, selain itu, alih-alih itu, kita juga dapat menjadikan benih kebudaan bahwa pada dasar kita itu punya potensi untuk menjadi Buddha, jadikanlah itu sebagai landasan untuk kepercayaan diri kita, rasa percaya diri kita.
Okay, next question. So in tantric practice, is it correct to say that to chant a mantra you should have the permission from your teacher? Is it okay if we chant certain mantras ourselves without permission from the teacher?
Ya, di dalam tradisi tantra dikatakan bahwa ada mantra tertentu yang harus mendapatkan izin dari guru untuk dibacakan. Nah, apakah itu benar? Apakah boleh dibacakan langsung saja?
So some mantras are very common, and many people say them, and those you don't need special permission or anything to say. So a mantra like Om Mani Padme Hum, the mantra of great compassion, you can say whether or not you've heard it from your teacher.
Yeah. Ya, ada mantra-mantra yang sudah umum yang Anda tidak butuh izin dari guru. Ya, sudah sering dibacakan seperti mantra Om Mani Padme Hum, itu adalah mantra Welas Asih Agung. Jadi itu boleh dibacakan saja secara langsung.
Or the mantra of Manjushri, Omarapatsanadi, then that one too, you know, it's very popular, very commonly said, and so you can say that. You know, yourself. It's always good if you hear your teacher say the mantra, but if you don't have that situation with these shorter mantras that are common, that it's fine for you to say.
Ya, ada juga mantra yang lain, ya, mantra Manjusri tadi. Di situasi ketika Anda tidak punya guru, ya tidak apa-apa, Anda sudah boleh melafalkan, karena mantra itu juga sudah umum untuk dibacakan atau dilafalkan.
Yeah, but mantras from more difficult and complex practices, those you need to follow the instruction for with your teacher.
Untuk mantra yang lebih rumit, ya, maka Anda butuh instruksi dari guru.
So something like Om Mani Padme Hum, the mantra of great compassion, it's really good to say that any time you have, you know, you can. You're walking to the bus. Perfect to do in the middle of a Jakarta traffic jam when you're parked on the highway. Yeah, instead of getting angry and frustrated, say Om Mani Padme Hum, Om Mani Padme Hum, Om Mani Padme Hum, Om Mani Padme Hum. And think about Kuan Yin.
Ya, jadi misalnya, ya jadi mantra seperti Om Mani Padme Hum itu boleh dibacakan kapan saja. Dan buat kita orang Jakarta, ya, yang kalau mobil itu diparkir di jalan tol, maka daripada ngeluh kesel macet, mendingan kita bacakan saja Om Mani Padme Hum, Om Mani Padme Hum. Ya, mantra apa? Sambil mengingat Kuan Yin.
Yes, and that keeps your mind in a positive state instead of getting aggravated about the traffic jam.
Nah, itu membantu Anda pikirannya supaya tetap bisa stabil dan tenang daripada marah sama macet.
Okay. Let's see next. How do we overcome addiction?
Kecanduan nih. Bagaimana cara kita mengatasi kecanduan?
Okay. I would say to overcome addiction, you need a multi-pronged approach. You need many different things to help you.
Jadi untuk mengatasi kecanduan ini, Anda butuh banyak pendekatan, banyak cara.
Okay. The most important thing is to admit that you have an addiction. Yeah, and to want to get over it. If you don't admit it, and if you don't really in your heart want to stop, then you're not going to.
Ya, jadi langkah pertama adalah Anda harus akui Anda punya apa kecanduan tersebut dan sungguh-sungguh mau untuk mengatasi, untuk berhenti. Jadi kalau dua hal ini nggak punya, maka percuma. Tidak ada hasilnya sama sekali.
So I think some of you know that I do work with prisoners, with inmates in prison. And one of them who had a substance abuse problem, a drug problem, he was telling me that he would go before the judge. The judge would put him in a detox program, and he would go through superficially following the program, but he didn't really want to stop his drug use. And so he did the program, but it didn't help him in any way because he didn't really want to stop.
I see. Jadi saya kan seperti Anda tahu, saya juga melayani orang-orang yang tahanan di penjara. Jadi ada satu yang cerita, orang ini punya masalah dengan ketergantungan obat-obatan. Jadi orang ini bilang, saya akan ikut program rehab, tapi saya cuma ikut aja gitu, cuman ya buat tampilan aja lah kalau saya ikut rehab. Tapi sesungguhnya dalam hati saya itu saya nggak mau ikut. Nah.
And he said that for some people, that you have to really sink to the bottom. You have to really get in a very, very bad space before you develop the sincere wish to change and to get over the addiction.
Untuk sebagian orang, mereka harus benar-benar jatuh, tenggelam sampai ke dasarnya, sampai benar-benar merasakan penderitaannya, barulah mereka mau bergerak untuk berubah.
So that's very painful if you have to sink to the bottom and have your life really fall apart before you get the inner strength to do something about the problem that is making your life fall apart. So it's a sad situation when that happens.
Ini sangat menyakitkan ya, sangat menyedihkan bahwa seseorang itu harus sampai benar-benar jatuh ke dasar, hidupnya hancur berantakan sebelum dia melakukan sesuatu untuk bisa mengatasi kondisi hidupnya.
Yeah. Sometimes it has to happen that way, but if you're smart, don't let it happen that way to you before you start asking for help.
Nah, kadang-kadang itu terjadi. Tapi bila Anda cerdas, Anda tidak perlu membiarkan Anda sampai jatuh ke dasar kalau baru mau berubah dan meminta pertolongan.
Okay. But instead acknowledge the problem and then go to some professionals who are skilled in helping people overcome addiction.
Ya, Anda bisa mengakui Anda punya kecanduan dan kemudian cari bantuan profesional untuk mengatasi masalah ini.
Okay. Practicing the Dharma will also help, but you know, if you have a serious addiction, you do need the help of a professional, you know?
Ya, praktek dharma.
And the opportunity to talk to a group of people who have the same problem as you do. That's also very, very helpful.
Praktek Dharma itu juga menolong, tapi akan lebih baik jika Anda mendapatkan bantuan dari para profesional dan bicara dengan orang-orang yang punya masalah yang sama.
Yeah, in the States, they have a group called Alcohol Anonymous. And then, you know, they have subgroups, you know, about Overeating Anonymous and, you know, various kinds of addictions. And it's an international thing. I think they must have it in Indonesia. But people who have the same problem get together and they talk about what it is that's propelling them to keep doing something that is self-destructive. And in that way, they help each other. You know, you get a big brother or a big sister who's somebody who, you know, you can talk to during the week and, you know, who can who has the same problem or had the same problem and is now helping you to really stay firm in your own determination to stop that negative habit.
Ya, kalau di Amerika sana itu ada kelompok-kelompok ya yang membantu orang mengatasi persoalan-persoalan seperti masalah alkohol, masalah apa kesehatan dan sebagainya. Di mana mereka berkumpul, mereka berbicara, menyampaikan masalah-masalah mereka dan mendapatkan dukungan dari satu sama lain. Dukungan ini bisa didapat dari orang-orang yang telah melewati masalah ini atau yang juga masih mengalami masalahnya. Jadi itu sejenis seperti punya saudara dan saudari yang akan membantu, yang akan mendukung kita untuk mengatasi persoalan kecanduan yang kita miliki.
Yeah, so having other people who have been through what you're going through to talk to is very, very helpful. Yeah, so seek that out.
Jadi sangat menolong, membantu bila kita punya dukungan kelompok dari orang-orang yang telah melewati apa yang akan kita lewati. Itu sangat membantu.
Yeah. But a lot of people, or some people maybe I should say, are unwilling to admit that they have an addiction, and instead they make all sorts of excuses for their behavior.
Ya, jadi tapi ada juga orang-orang yang nggak mengakui ya kalau mereka punya masalah dengan perilaku mereka dan bahkan mencari-cari alasan untuk mereka boleh melakukan perilaku itu.
Yeah. So somebody, let's say, who is actually an alcoholic may say, oh, I'm not an alcoholic. I don't have an alcohol problem. I just drink a little, but I don't get completely drunk. But actually, their family and their friends know that the guy gets dead drunk. Yeah, but he just won't admit it. Yeah. So if you won't admit it like that, then you're really stuck. You know, it's like shooting yourself in the foot. You're making yourself, causing yourself problems. Yeah. Best to admit it and then seek help.
Ya, mungkin Anda juga tahu, ini contohnya orang yang kecanduan minuman keras, alkohol, tapi dia bilang, enggak kok, saya tuh cuma minumnya dikit doang kok, enggak mabok gitu. Enggak apa-apa, tapi keluarganya, kerabatnya, lingkungannya tahu kalau orang ini tuh maboknya parah, maboknya berat. Nah, kalau begini itu sulit untuk lepas dari kecanduan. Oleh sebab itu, sekali lagi diulang, yang penting adalah mengakui dan mencari pertolongan.
Yeah. So there's lots of things now that are recognized as addictions that years ago were not recognized as addictions.
Nah, sekarang ini kita punya jenis kecanduan yang baru yang dulu itu tidak terlihat atau tidak dianggap sebagai kecanduan.
Yeah. So for example, shopping. If you go shopping too much and shopping too often and you always have to buy this and buy that, you know, and run up your credit card debt, excuse me, that's considered an addiction now.
Yeah. Belanja ya. Jadi sekarang itu dianggap candu. Jadi kita beli barang begitu banyak dan kemudian kita terlilit hutang kartu kredit. Kalau dulu nggak dianggap candu, sekarang udah termasuk salah satu jenis kecanduan.
Okay. Gambling, of course, can be addictive.
Judi, itu juga termasuk salah satunya.
Okay. And playing video games can be an addiction.
Video games. Now we call it mobile games, Venerable, because we don't use TV anymore. Oh, we use smartphone.
Yeah. So the games you play on your phone, just being on the phone all the time can be addictive.
Dan juga candu sama HP ya, jadi pegang handphone terus. Itu juga salah satu jenis candu.
Yeah. So it's very important that we learn to talk to actual live people, not just to screens all the time.
Nah, kita tuh perlu untuk ketemu dan ngomong sama orang secara langsung, bukan cuman menatap layar.
Okay, let's see what the next one is. So as a householder, can we help others through sharing the Dharma? As our teacher teaches us, or is there danger that we might mislead somebody?
Ya. Sebagai perumah tangga, apakah kita boleh menolong, membantu orang dengan mengajarkan Dharma, seperti yang dilakukan oleh para guru, karena ada celah atau takutnya kami akan menuntun orang secara keliru.
Ya. Well, if you know a subject fairly well and your friend asks a question and you can answer it, do that. And if you come to something where you don't know the answer, then you just say, I'm sorry, I don't know the answer. Yeah, don't make up an answer when you don't know what the answer is.
Bila seseorang bertanya dan Anda tahu, Anda paham, Anda jawab. Tapi bila pertanyaan itu Anda tidak ngerti, Anda jawab saja tidak tahu. Jangan mengarang-arang jawaban.
There's nothing shameful about not knowing the answer to a question. You know, we're not Buddhist. So we just say, I don't know. I can ask my teacher. I can look it up.
Ya, jadi nggak perlu merasa malu kalau kita tidak tahu jawaban karena kita bukan Buddha. Anda bisa mengajukan pertanyaan kepada guru Anda atau Anda dapat nanti mencari jawaban.
Then there's other situations. Let's say your friend has a problem, and you might know a Dharma teaching that might help them with their problem. You know, maybe they're maybe their mind is really overwhelmed by greed and attachment. So if you talk a little bit about impermanence, you know, then that can be really helpful to them. So you can talk about these kind of antidotes to the afflictions, but do it in secular language. Yeah, you don't need to bring in a lot of complicated Buddhist terms.
Jadi misalnya ada kawan yang punya masalah dan kebetulan Anda tahu, Anda paham, ada ajaran yang dapat mengatasi persoalan teman Anda tersebut. Misalnya persoalan tentang keserakahan dan keterikatan. Anda tahu bahwa ajaran tentang ketidakkekalan itu adalah cara untuk mengatasinya. Anda boleh jelaskan tanpa harus menggunakan istilah-istilah Buddhis yang rumit. Anda boleh gunakan bahasa yang sehari-hari.
Yeah. And so share books with your friends, give them short Dharma books to start with, or show them a Dharma website, invite them to something.
Anda bisa kasihkan buku Dharma yang buku kecil. Anda bisa tunjukkan situs-situs Dharma. Anda bisa memberikan sesuatu yang dapat membantu dia mengatasi persoalan-persoalan.
Okay, what's next? If I have to choose between chanting and meditation, which one will you suggest?
Okay, jadi pilihannya antara mendaras atau bermeditasi.
Why do you have to choose between chanting and meditation? You do a little bit of both of them. It's helpful for your practice.
Ya, jadi kenapa harus pilih antara mendaras? Mendaras itu bahasa Indonesia kita mengulang-ulang sutta atau sutra ya. Kenapa mesti pilih? Kenapa nggak dua-duanya aja lakukan sedikit-sedikit?
And you should also do some Dharma reading and think about what you read. That's very helpful too.
Anda juga perlu membaca buku Dharma dan merenungkannya. Itu juga menolong.
Okay. Let's see. Okay, so what if we help somebody, but it backfires on us, and the other person like gets very upset with us and causes us difficulties? How to accept that person and to release the bad relationship with them? Or is this maybe due to past negative karma?
Ya, bagaimana cara menghadapi persoalan seperti ini? Kita udah bantu orang, tapi orang itu malah, di belakang kita tuh malah nggak seneng, malah dia kecewa, gitu. Bagaimana cara mengatasinya? Apakah ini berhubungan dengan karma-karma negatif yang lampau?
Karma could be involved in that. But it also depends on what's happening right now in the moment too.
Ya, karma ada keterlibatannya juga, tapi kita juga perlu melihat situasi dan kondisi yang terjadi sekarang.
Yeah. But it does happen that sometimes we're trying to help somebody and that person gets offended, they get angry, You know, they don't want to talk to us. Yeah, that happens.
Ya, ada kejadian kalau kita menolong orang, tapi orangnya malah tersinggung, dia marah, dia kecewa, dan dia nggak mau ngomong sama kita. Itu ada, itu terjadi.
Okay. Has it ever been the other way around for you, where somebody was trying to help you, but you got mad at them, and you told them, be quiet and leave me alone?
Atau sebaliknya, Anda pernah punya pengalaman itu nggak? Ada yang mau bantu, tapi malah kamu yang bilang, udah pergi, diam, ya, biarkan saya sendirian saja.
Yeah. So these things happen. The thing that's important is that we act with compassionate motivation. Okay. If we try to help somebody with compassion and they don't accept our help, then we just accept it, you know, we tried and that's the situation. We can't force anybody to accept help.
Jadi yang penting perbuatan kita tuh landasannya adalah kasih sayang, ulas asih. Dan bila orang tersebut menolak, maka ya kita nggak bisa ngapa-ngapain, kita juga nggak bisa maksa seseorang untuk menerima bantuan kita.
But we have to really ask ourselves, are we trying to help that other person, or do we have an agenda and we're trying to change them so that they start acting the way we want them to act, or so that they become the kind of person we want them to be?
Jadi Anda harus cek ya motivasinya. Apakah tulus? Apakah kita punya agenda terselubung? Bahwa kita nolongnya supaya dia berubah, supaya dia ngikutin maunya kita. Gitu. Ya, okay. Cek motivasinya.
Because if we say, oh, I'm just trying to help, but actually in our mind, we have an agenda of how we think they should change and what they should do. And that's not a good motivation on our part. That's not compassion. That's manipulation.
Jadi kalau motivasi kita adalah agar dia berubah, mengikuti yang kita mau, menjadi seperti yang kita inginkan, maka itu bukan motivasi ulas asih. Itu motivasi yang buruk.
So if somebody doesn't want our manipulation, then we have to own that we had a very impure motivation, and respect the other person's independence and their autonomy.
Yeah. Jadi bila motivasi kita tadi itu adalah memanipulasi karena kita mau dia ngikutin kita, jadi motivasinya belas asih tapi manipulasi, dan dia tidak mau ikut, maka kita harus menerima kenyataan itu, motivasi itu, bahwa orang tersebut tidak akan mengikuti apa yang kita inginkan.
Okay. Okay, so nowadays, many people have become very anxious due to the pandemic, and we don't know what's going to happen next. And so Venerable said in the book about that anxiety develops because of so much focus on me, my problems, my life, my family, my job, me, me, me. So how is the best way for us to handle this situation?
Ya, bagaimana cara untuk mengatasi kondisi seperti pandemik ini, di mana penyebabnya adalah saya, dan saya. Selalu saya, dan saya. Bagaimana cara kita mengatasi kecemasan yang terjadi karena kondisi pandemik sekarang?
Yeah. So in this pandemic, none of us know what's going to happen, do we?
Ya. Betul kan? Kondisi sekarang ini tuh nggak ada yang tahu apa yang akan terjadi. Betul gak?
Yeah, the experts, you know, in epidemic, how do you say it? Epidemiology. You know, they can give us some guidelines about what may happen, but nobody really knows. And with the economy, nobody knows. We're all in the same boat.
Ya, jadi kita tuh nggak tahu apa-apa. Para ahli ekonomi, epidemiologi itu tuh cuma bisa kasih pedoman-pedoman saja. Tapi kenyataannya, sesungguhnya apa yang sedang terjadi itu nggak ada yang tahu.
And you know what? Very often, we think we know what's going to happen, but actually, we don't have a clue.
Dan, ya, ahli-ahli itu juga nggak tahu apa yang akan terjadi nanti. Dan kita juga seakan-akan tahu, oh, nanti akan terjadi seperti ini. Padahal sesungguhnya kita tuh nggak punya petunjuk apapun.
So this is something that the Buddha was really trying to tell us about in the teachings. You know, that life in samsara is not stable. It's not predictable. It's changing all the time.
Ya, dan Buddha udah mengajarkan kita kalau hidup di samsara ini itu nggak dapat diprediksi. Ini selalu berubah. Ini kondisinya sudah seperti ini. Buddha sudah kasih tahu.
Yeah, so my philosophy is see it as an adventure and enjoy the adventure.
Jadi filosofi saya adalah lihatlah ini sebagai sebuah petualangan dan nikmati petualangannya.
Instead of, oh, I don't know what's going to happen. How long is the pandemic going to be? Is it going to be 1 month? Is it going to be 1 year? Is it going to be 10 years? Oh, I need to know. Tell me how long the pandemic is going to be. Oh, no, nobody can tell me how long it's going to be. This is the uncertainty is driving me crazy. You know, nobody knows. I mean, if it'll make you feel more secure, I'll make up a number and tell you. You know, maybe will that make you feel more secure? I don't have any idea, but I can make something up and tell you, and maybe you calm down. But, you know, nobody really knows. And even when there's not a pandemic, we don't know. Yeah, last December, in December, there was no pandemic. None of us knew the pandemic was going to come. Yeah? So
yes.
That's why just, you know, see it. This is part of our life adventure. And enjoy it and learn what you can and be kind to others and contribute what you can contribute.
Jadi nggak ada yang tahu ya, nggak ada yang tahu kalau pandemik ini akan datang. Ingat bulan Desember 2019 kita tuh nyantai-nyantai aja, nggak ada pandemik. Kemudian pandemiknya terjadi sekarang dan kita juga nggak tahu kapan dia akan berhenti. Jadi alih-alih berpikir, aduh stres ini kapan berakhirnya, kapan ini selesai dan segala macam pemikiran-pemikiran dan itu nggak akan menolong, maka kita anggap aja hidup ini adalah sebuah petualangan dan nikmati petualangannya. Tentu bisa, kita bisa, apa mungkin ada orang kan bilang, oh ini nanti selesainya 2 bulan lagi, 3 bulan lagi. Tapi itu kan cuma sebuah ungkapan, sebuah data yang usahanya cuma untuk membuat kita jadi lebih merasa aman aja. Tapi realitanya kan seperti itu. Maka kenyataannya adalah kita tuh nggak pernah tahu apa yang akan terjadi nanti. Jadi hidup ini dinikmatin aja sebagai sebuah petualangan.
So the thing is really to develop a flexible mind, you know. So we may have an idea of what is going to happen, but I think as soon as we have an idea of what will happen, then we know what won't happen. Because our ideas of what's going to happen, our plans, you know, we can't control the world. Nobody can control the world. So the thing to do is learn to be flexible and to adapt to whatever situations arise and learn to keep our mind happy in these different situations.
Makanya kita perlu untuk melatih pikiran kita supaya bisa fleksibel, supaya bisa tetap bahagia di dalam kondisi yang sekarang. Karena pada intinya kita nggak pernah tahu apa yang akan terjadi. Atau kita boleh bikin sejenis prediksi atau seakan-akan kita tahu nih nanti akan seperti itu. Tapi itu kan semua cuma rencana. Dan rencana-rencana itu juga sifatnya tidak pasti. Makanya penting sekali bagi kita untuk melatih pikiran supaya bisa fleksibel.
Yeah, I was supposed to go to Europe this spring to teach. Cancelled. I was supposed to be in India right now for a practice with international bhikshunis. Cancelled.
Cancelled.
I always go to Asia at the end of the year, so I was planning on going to Singapore and hopefully Indonesia. I don't know. So, we'll see what happens, yeah?
Venerable, if you cannot go to Europe or India, there's slightly a chance you can come to Singapore and Indonesia by the end of the year. We still have another 4 months to go.
But in the U.S., there's so many COVID cases, it's so uncontrolled here, that Europe won't let Americans in. Yeah, we can't go to Europe now because the rate of infection is so uncontrolled here. So maybe at the end of the year, I can't go to Singapore and Indonesia either. You won't let me in.
Oh, yes.
Yeah,
hopefully they find.
Do we?
Hopefully they find a vaccine within 2 weeks from now.
Okay.
That's great. So anyway, let me translate. Jadi saya punya, maksudnya beliau ya, Venerable, saya punya rencana ke Eropa, ke India, ke Eropa ada teaching, ke India ada latihan dengan para biksuni, itu semua batal. Biasanya akhir tahun itu saya ke Asia, ke Singapura, ke Indonesia juga batal. Dan saya bilang, kalau Eropa, Indianya batal, akhir tahun mungkin masih bisa ke Singapura dan ke Indonesia. Beliau mengatakan, di Amerika ini kasusnya itu banyak banget, sehingga Eropa tidak mengizinkan orang Amerika datang. Terus juga karena kasusnya meningkat, takutnya juga nggak boleh masuk. Dan saya bilang, mudah-mudahan vaksinnya ketemu dalam 2 minggu lagi.
Yeah. But I try to be flexible because having Dharma talks on Zoom with all of you was not in my program, but you asked, and then we said yes, and then we did it. So, you know, we try and be flexible. And
makanya kita berupaya untuk lebih fleksibel. Seperti sharing kita hari ini sebenarnya tidak ada dalam program saya, tapi karena kami mengundang, kami meminta. Dari Indonesia maksudnya, ya, jadilah kita ketemu saat ini.
And then the last question is, with the pandemic, now everything is online, and in the workplace, we have a lot of online meetings, and that's very stressful to have online meetings. So how can we implement Buddhist practice in that kind of situation so that we can be peaceful and still be productive at work?
Ya, jadi ini berhubungan tentang online, jadi bagaimana kita bisa tetap produktif di dalam pekerjaan kita.
So you know, sometimes online meetings can be stressful when you do them at work. Yeah.
Ya, kadang-kadang meeting online itu bisa bikin kita stres tuh kalau di pekerjaan ya.
But just remember whatever stress there is, it's coming from your mind because everybody else feels the same way. Nobody's used to having a meeting on Zoom.
Ya, dan stres ini tuh datang dari pikiran kita sendiri karena semua orang juga meeting lewat Zoom.
Yeah, and it's stressful. You're trying to have a meeting at work, and then you know people can see the inside of your house, and your kids are running around, and your dog's jumping, and all these things are happening. Don't worry about it. Don't get stressed about it. You know, people know you have a life. It's okay.
Nah, mungkin Anda stres karena orang tahu rumah Anda, anak-anak teriak, anjingnya lompat sana sini. Ya nggak apa-apa, nggak usah terlalu distres karena orang juga tahu Anda punya kehidupan. Jadi nggak usah terlalu dipikirin terlalu jauh gitu.
Yeah, it actually makes things much more human instead of trying to be perfect.
Oke, okay, jadi daripada kita berupaya untuk jadi sempurna, ya kita biasa aja berusaha jadi manusia.
So I just looked at the clock, and actually it's good that I started with the questions at the beginning because now the time is up. But what do you say? Oh. Okay, she said there's one question on the chat, so we'll do that.
Yeah, this one is...
Yes, Venerable.
So we all know that the Buddha taught us about the five precepts. I'm interested in the fifth precept, which is that we should not consume anything that can make us unconscious, especially alcohol. And I also know that the Buddha taught about karma. So bad karma is when I intend to do something and I end up doing something negative. If I consume alcohol and get drunk, but I do something negative, but I'm unconscious when I'm doing it. Is that still considered bad karma?
Yes.
That's a tricky question.
No, it's not tricky. Somebody's trying to bargain and you're saying, no, you can't bargain.
Yeah. Well, let me translate first one. Jadi ini soal lima sila. Sila kelima kan berhubungan dengan minuman keras. Dan ada ajaran tentang karma. Nah, karma kan artinya kalau perbuatan dilakukan dengan kehendak gitu. Nah, kalau saya minum mabok, saya melakukan perbuatan kan saya nggak sadar, saya nggak punya kehendak. Terus itu ada karmanya nggak? Jawabannya adalah iya.
Okay, so there's the story about a monk and somehow he was captured, and the person who was holding him prisoner said, you either have to kill this sheep or sleep with this woman or what else was it? Or steal something, you know, in town or drink some alcohol. And so the monk said, oh, you know, well, killing the animal and stealing something and, you know, having sex, this is all breaking my root precepts. But alcohol isn't so bad and it's not a root precept. So I'll do that one. So then he drank the alcohol and then he did the other three. Okay. So, alcohol is not wise to take if you want to, practice karma well and abandon negativity and create virtue.
Okay. Jadi, minuman alkohol itu bukan sesuatu yang baik. Jika Anda ingin berlatih mempraktikkan dharma dengan baik untuk dapat melakukan banyak kebajikan dalam kehidupan ini. Ada sebuah cerita tentang seorang biksu yang ditangkap di penjara, lalu ditawarkan oleh orang yang nangkap, kamu pilih ngebunuh, berbohong, atau kamu berhubungan seksual, atau kamu minum alkohol. Lalu biksu tersebut berpikir, kalau di antara tiga perbuatan ini, yang pertama membunuh, mencuri, dan berhubungan seksual ini kan aturan yang sangat berat. Maka dia pilih, ya udah saya minum alkohol aja. Akibatnya karena minum alkohol, akhirnya dia melakukan 3 perbuatan keliru yang pertama tadi. Jadi kalau Anda dengan baik, maka Anda harus menghindari yang namanya alkohol.
Okay, so we've reached the end of our time together. Yeah. So, well, I want to chant a prayer to dedicate the merit.
Yes, Venerable, please.
Due to this merit, may we soon attain the awakened state of Guru Buddha, that we may be able to liberate all sentient beings from their suffering. May the precious Bodhi mind, not yet born, arise and grow. May that born have no decline, but increase forevermore.
Sadhu, sadhu.
Okay.
Yes. Okay, Venerable.
Sure. Thank you all again.
Yes, Venerable. Thank you so much for your teaching today. All the questions is very helpful for us to understand the Dhamma and the teaching. And before we close the session, I would like to invite everyone who joined our Zoom session today to give a deep bow to Venerable as a gesture of gratitude and thank you for everyone who is watching the session today. Jadi semuanya kita akan berterima kasih kepada Venerable dengan cara kita bungkuk hormat. Nanti ikutin saya kurang lebih 1-2 detik, habis itu kita bangkit kembali. Ya, please Venerable, please accept our gratitude and thankful for teaching us today.
My pleasure.
And we humbly request your presence with us again in Indonesia, hopefully by the end of December, because in 2 weeks we are going to find the vaccine. Hopefully we can meet again in life. I believe everyone is expecting you here. Thank you once again.
Please come again.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Please, Darwin.
Yeah. We have some questions already coming in. So is it okay if we email to you the questions and you maybe you can answer it, reply the email to us, and we can forward the email to the person who is asking the specific question. Is it okay?
It's okay if there's just a few questions. If there's many questions, then it's better that we do another session like this.
Okay.
Yeah, because otherwise I just wind up typing all day.
Okay, I saw it's maybe around 4 or 5 questions coming in from Instagram and YouTube. I think, is it?
Okay, we'll see, because sometimes.
Okay.
They keep coming in. We'll see. Okay.
Thank you,
figure something out.
Okay, thank you, Venerable.